Sunday, January 20th, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to be talking about the five understandings of value. I think this is a huge topic for us to tackle on this podcast. We really haven't gone there, girlfriend. And I'm going to tell you why it's so damn important. Because I just think a lot of people, I mean, just like, we could even have a podcast on the five misunderstandings of value. It's just, it's a huge topic. I think many of us kind of miss it a little bit. So if you don't mind, lots to cover. I think we need to get right down to business. But first thing is first. I have a shout out today, man. I love doing a shout out. And you guys should know this about me by now. A shout out is when someone is nice enough to stop by iTunes, leave us a five-star rating, and write a review. So this one this week comes from Dan Grind, who writes, Paul provides some of the best real-world information, not only to be successful in business, but successful in life. And then he goes on to say, A-plus job, Paul. I always walk away from one of your sessions a bit smarter and hopefully a bit wiser. And I'm going to tell you what, Dan, I'm sitting up in my chair a little taller because you made me feel real good writing that. Thank you very, very much for that. And as I always say, I mean, we're up to, I think it's like 24 or 25 really cool reviews that people have written about us. I never get tired of them, and it just makes me feel real good. And what I always tell people, it's kind of like when I get a review like that, it's kind of like you guys just kind of filled up the gas tank for me and enabled me to keep traveling. So thank you very much. And now I'm going against my rule. My rule is I like to get right to the point, man. Not a lot of telling you what we're going to be doing in this podcast. We got to get down to business, but you also need to know one other thing. Today it's episode 69, which means that if you want to get the show notes, what you do is you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/69. So with that, here we go. I have five things for you this week with a lot of little tidbits in between. The first thing you need to know, the first understanding of value, is that in the absence of value, people will default to price. So let's say that again. In the absence of value, people will default to price. And I think it's very important that you understand that when I say people, I mean you too. I mean, you're no different. I mean, you buy things, right? And when there's not value, many times we just default right to price because it's just the easiest thing to do. It's kind of our default decision-making process that we have. So I think this could happen a few different ways. I'll talk about two of them very, very quickly on the podcast here. The first one is, let's just say someone approaches you out of the blue. You don't know them, or maybe you do know them, but you really haven't met with them and really gotten to know them, so to speak. And they approach you for pricing. And many times, you know how this happens. It comes through an email. So here's kind of the million-dollar question I'm going to put out to you right now. And I know there's a lot of sales teams, which I'm really flattered and honored that you guys do this. I've been receiving a lot of emails lately that you'll bring this into your sales meetings and have some of them listen to it together and kind of talk about what I'm talking about. So I'm going to put a question out there. When you receive a request for some pricing for someone through an email, and let's just say that you don't really know them and they kind of come at you out of the blue, they heard about you wherever, and they ask for pricing, do you play along with that? Do you just give them pricing? Do you try to get it into some kind of a live conversation? Maybe even try to get face-to-face with them? Or 9 out of 10 times, do you kind of play by those rules where you'll just do everything through an email and provide pricing? Because first of all, if you go ahead and do it that way, well, we've kind of just, you and the prospect has just defaulted to a price discussion. There is probably very little opportunity there under those circumstances to provide value if you play along that way. Maybe another way that you can do it, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it certainly works for me, is to try to get that into a conversation, right? And preferably like a live one as opposed to a dead one because they suck, right? But I mean like a live one as in like get on a phone, right? Or how cool would it be if logistically you could go see them? I remember reading in an old Tom Hopkins book, like circa like 1982 or something like that. I think it was that book, which was a classic, How to Master the Art of Selling, I think it was. I remember him talking about how when people would, like when he would get a lead, he would literally like drop the phone and like run to them. And I know it's a different world today. And he was exaggerating probably only slightly. But I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in an email and this impersonal form of communication that we also shoot ourselves in the foot and we just kind of play along. And now we're in a price discussion. And it's, to me, pricing is hit or miss. But establishing value is very, very important and very, very key. And we're going to certainly talk about how you can do that in a moment. But I think the first thing that you have to do is try to have a conversation with them at a minimum, right? And maybe be able to get face-to-face with them and hopefully be able to – I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you could do a full needs analysis so that we can kind of move away from a price discussion and find out, like, really, like, where it hurts and maybe not – try to get deeply involved in a symptom, but maybe go beyond the symptom and get into the potential problem or potential opportunity that this prospect has. So that's the first scenario when someone approaches you. And it could easily, again, if in the absence of value, it can default to price. It's just easier that way. And the other scenario, and there's other ones we could talk about, but the other scenario is you meet with them. And you meet with someone, and for whatever reason, maybe you called them, maybe you picked up the phone one day, you're doing some cold calling, you set an appointment, and next thing you know, you're having a price discussion, or maybe a little bit later on in the process, you're knee-deep in some price objections or a negotiation. You have to understand that many, many times, what that represents is a much bigger picture, a failure to establish the value. And what happens is, because value wasn't established or created and certainly acknowledged by the prospect or even client in some cases, it's just easier to default to price. And you have to understand something. I think one of the things that you need to do, and I often talk about this, you need to do this exercise like quarterly, where you kind of mentally fire yourself, rehire yourself as your prospect, as your client, and think about the things that would just aggravate you to no end in your role, in that role that you would have. So if you're purchasing, what would annoy the hell out of you as a purchasing agent for a company or a CEO or a VP of sales like I sell to? Things like that. You have to look at it from their perspective, and you can't make, to me, the mistake that too many people make. We were taught to find the pain. I don't believe that it's only just about pain, folks. I'm sorry. I'm going to raise my hand and cry BS on that one. I don't think it's just about pain. I think that sometimes it's about embracing opportunity because, I mean, sometimes we could meet with someone and we could do the most incredible needs analysis and they're being completely honest with us and they're telling us, nah, it's cool. No, no problems there. No deficiencies over here either. But if you start talking about maybe opportunity that their company could be embracing, well, that's not painful to them. That's an opportunity, and you could certainly help them do that. So you really have to kind of fire yourself and look at things from their perspective. I think that's very, very important. And I think when if we go now further down the line, if we're not establishing value, and I'm going to talk about a few other things that can certainly help us from the point of firing ourselves and what do you do then, right? So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But further down the line, what's going to happen is they're just going to see everybody looking as the same, right? And everybody being a dime a dozen. And they default to price. So that is realization number one. That's the first understanding you need to have. In the absence of value, people will default to price. So if you're having a lot of discussions lately with people and they're beating you up on your price, or it's all about the price, or they seem to be obsessed with price, some of it could be, I mean, it could be a qualifying problem for you, right? And some of it, yeah, there's a lot of really cheap people that are just focused on the price. Yeah, I get it. But if you're having a lot of those conversations, I'd be willing to bet, and I'm not a gambling man, I'd be willing to bet that you're not establishing the appropriate level of value. Brings us to number two. Value is determined by your prospect or in some cases, your client, not you, not your marketing department, not your CEO or founder. I'm going to say that again. Not that anything I say is worthy of repeating, but it is my podcast. I'm allowed to do crazy stuff like this. But you got to realize value is determined by your prospect or client, not you. All caps you on that one, by the way. Not your marketing department or the CEO or founder. You ready for this? It's what they, all caps they, we're talking here, right? Like if I was writing it out, all caps, they find valuable, not you. So kind of what you need to do here, this to me speaks to really what we talked about before in item number one. You a good needs analysis. This is like reason number 10,000. Why you want to go through the process whenever you can. A proper needs analysis is what I'm talking about here. And maybe as far as your needs analysis goes, I don't know the last time that you've really taken a look at the questions you ask and the caliber of questions you ask. If you belong to a team, this to me would be an incredible sales meeting for you guys to have, where everybody kind of brings their questions and you kind of maybe even write them out and send them to your sales manager, and he or she compiles like a PDF with all these questions that people are asking, and just kind of do a questioning makeover. And just look at the questions you're asking. You could even role play a needs analysis so that people can get an idea of the questions you're asking. And even, I think you need to challenge the questions you're asking. Like, why the hell am I asking that question? Sometimes it was a question you were taught because we default to like the first time. And I actually wrote a piece about that. In fact, I should put that in the show notes. And if you want to visit that one, yoursalesplaybook.com/69. I'm going to put a link to that article. But we default to the first time or the first way we learn something. And I have news for you. You might have been taught something wrong. You might have taught something that was really, really cool, but like it was like 1985 already, and it's like years later, and now it's antiquated and irrelevant and no longer makes sense. And this is just a habit for you. So you need to challenge the questions that you're asking. And I think what you need to do, you have to, it goes back to this firing yourself thing. You have to really understand their world in order to ask a better question, to understand their world at a better value, at a better level, to provide a better level of value. So let's go through that again, kind of like maybe like an equation here, right? So really what you have to do is you have to have a basic understanding of the pain, typical opportunities, knowledge of their world and industry and verticals. Things like that can be very, very helpful and make you come across really brilliant, by the way, by like asking superior questions. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate the value of a really kick-ass question in a meeting. Please. In fact, you might want to write that down. In those words, a kick-ass question in a meeting. It has to be done that way, by the way. I don't know why. But seriously, if we were to put this into an equation, you can see like my ADD has me going all over the place today. But if we put this into an equation, it would be something like a basic, or actually the better the understanding we have going in, plus really good questions, a strong needs analysis, equals a higher level of understanding and a greater opportunity now for you to provide relevant value. So very, very important, because it is all relative and it has to be relevant to them, not something that we decided in some like sales meeting or a boardroom where half of these value propositions are done. So I think it's very, very important. Another thing that you can do, and I've talked about it a lot, I will definitely have a link to this, but start utilizing like a start, stop, continue questioning sequence. And I'll explain what that is in greater detail in the blog post. I want to put a little intrigue in there for you, but for those of you who've been following me a while, it's like, here we go again. I talk about that a lot, but I will say this. I've mostly spoken about a start, stop, continue questioning sequence in the context of maybe like a service type of discussion, or certainly a discussion that you would have with an existing client. I'm here to tell you that you could also use that sequence quite brilliantly with a prospect. And what it will do is it will tell you what they value, not what you perceive as their value, not what you decided in your boardroom as to their value, or a sales convention when everybody's going rah-rah and drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm talking about like actual, like right out of their mouth, like you're hearing it for yourself. So I think that's important. The other thing that you can do, here's the last thing, a little trick. I don't want to give it all away today, but you know, I'm feeling generous. I got to give this one away too. There's a really cool question that I ask at the beginning of every single meeting, after I kind of go through like what we call an agenda statement, where we talk about what we're going to talk about and all that kind of stuff. If it's a situation where I call them, what I might say, and I'll tell you how to say this a different way in a minute, I'll say, granted I called you, what prompted you to take this meeting with me today? And of course, if I didn't call them, I'm going to change that around a little bit, right? But it's very important to find out. There had to be a reason why they took the meeting with you. And the sooner you can get to that point, the sooner you could start having a really good use of that time together, because I'm going to guess that your prospects are like mine and they're not sitting around with plenty of things to do. So you want to kind of get there as quickly as you can and start digging deeper and start getting an understanding. So granted I called you, what prompted you to take this meeting with me today? And it will start opening up the door as to what they're finding value, or what their particular need is at this time, or whatever, or opportunity is. So very important to do that. Let's go on to item number 3. Don't ever, ever, ever talk about your value without connecting the dots for your prospect or client. Let's say that again. Don't ever, and also too, I want to apologize for something. I'm going to be coughing in your ear today. I got a little bit of a cold. I never edit my podcast. I want it to be raw. So this is kind of like a bad side effect of listening to the Sales Playbook podcast. I will cough in your ear. It's going to be a trademark. Watch. It's going to be popular. Every sales trainer out there is going to start coughing in your ear. Watch. It's going to be a It's going to be a trend, or maybe not. But let me repeat that again, and not the thing about coughing in your ear. Don't ever talk about value without connecting the dots for your prospect or client. I can't tell you how many companies I've come across and even worked for where they're, you know, they have this value proposition that they're used to, right? All of us are used to our own value proposition, and we're used to saying things a certain way and phrases a certain way. Right? I mean, things like full service and one source. I work for a company, and I'm not dissing them. They used to say something all the time, the power of scale. Right? These things sound really cool. I got to admit, they really do. They don't sound lousy. Some of them, like full service and one source, I kind of like beaten to death. So maybe that's kind of a lie on my part. But anyway, people are used to hearing this stuff. Like, what the hell do they mean? Right? You know what it means. You're there at the meetings going rah-rah and amen and whatever, right? But, and you're around it all the time. And if you're like most people, this stuff has been like beaten into your brain, right? Almost like reprogrammed into the company value proposition. But like, but you're so used to saying it and you get it because you work there. But your prospect is giving you the head tilt. You know what the head tilt is? Whenever you get a head tilt from somebody, it's like it's you probably just said something. They don't know what the hell you're talking about. They tilt their head and they're like processing it. Like what are they talking about, man? Is this guy possessed? Where is this dude or dudette coming from? So if you're getting those head tilts, man, that could be that. There's your sign. So what you want to do, but please, remember, you can't just say these things without connecting the dots and letting people know why that's valuable. And really the best way for you to let people know why it's valuable and what it means is by connecting it back to things that were expressed to you in your discussion through your needs analysis, things you've discovered, things like that, but not based on assumption. And certainly no explanation. You can't have a situation where there's no explanation at all. So I think it's very, very important that you do that. So please, I mean, like if you shut it down right now, that should be your big takeaway. Please stop saying things that, number one, you don't even know what the hell it means. with some of these phrases and things like that. And also, you gotta explain why it's valuable to people. And maybe while we're at it, avoid all the damn cliches too, because it's just beaten to death. But that is a podcast for another day, my friend. Let's go to item number four. Front end value, because value added might be too late. So front end your value, because value added might be too late. That's another phrase we always hear, value added. It's another thing that a lot of people don't know what the heck that means. So, and certainly what's relevant to your audience. But what I mean by this whole front ending of value, and this is a phrase I've used many times, give up front, give unconditionally and without a scorecard. So you want to give up front? As in, like, before they're even your customer. Unconditionally, meaning that, well, I'm going to do this for you, but then you got to buy the X1000 product line and all that kind of stuff. I would be very, very careful of that. I mean, I think there's a time and place for it, too. And without a scorecard, right? Where it's like, oh, come on, man, I just gave to you three times, and, you know, you're never doing for me, and all this kind of stuff. You know, and when I talk about giving up front and kind of giving that value, yes, by all means, you got to find out what's valuable and relevant to them. But just to get your wheels turning, I'm talking about things like information and ideas. I mean, how cool. I mean, never underestimate the value of a killer idea, expertise, and resources. So again, one more time. Doing a lot of repetition today, man. I don't know what's going on with me. Things like information and ideas, expertise, and resources. And speaking of resources, I mean, one of the things I always recommend at the end of your meetings, just do something that I call resource positioning. And you should do this like at the end of like most of your meetings with your prospects and most of them with your own clients. And just a simple statement, say it any way you want. But one of the ways I like to say it is I invite them to consider me a resource. So let's just say I'm speaking to Jane, right? You don't want to call Tom Jane. You might get your nose broken. But just saying, just a little, see, value added right there. And I'm doing it up front because you might not be my customer. So anyway, seriously. But let's just say I'm talking to Jane. Jane, I want to invite you to consider me a resource. And you know what? Not just the kind of resource that when you're calling me with one hand with the phone to consider me a resource, you got to have your checkbook in the other hand. I truly love what I do and I love helping my network. Please don't ever hesitate to call me. Now, that's a little long-winded, right? But that's kind of my style and that works for me. Find your way of doing it. But number one, you want to invite them for them to consider you a resource. Make it easy for them to continue to contact you, because some people feel real funny asking you for something if they're not writing you a check. And you know what? My whole thing is I think this is all about a courtship, and we got to get used to working together. And I don't mind doing that. And just a real quick side note. People ask me all the time, well, Paul, I know you do this a lot and you're always trying to be helpful. How the heck do you have the time for this? Well, maybe I have a wealthy benefactor and I just sit around all day playing video games and doing this, right? And I still get a really nice paycheck. Or maybe I made a different decision than a lot of people do. Not putting them down. I have all the time in the world to help a good amount of people. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I have zero time to make 200 calls a week cold. And back in the day, it was 200 to 300 calls, smiling and dialing. To me, with the way things have changed, I have zero time for that kind of nonsense. Not putting you down if that's what you do, and if it works for you, God bless. But to me, I'd rather take that time and demonstrate my expertise with as many people as I can in my network and even outside of my network and have that courtship with lots and lots of people. Because I know, having now done this since 2008, by the way, I'm going to be coming up very soon on my fifth anniversary of my blog and of all these rebranding efforts that I've been doing. I've been doing it for that long. It worked out so well for me that I changed my plan and went into business for myself, by the way, about 18 months ago. And my business has done very, very well with almost zero cold calling, because my game plan, amongst many other things that I do, is to demonstrate my expertise to as many people as I can. I'd rather take the time and be helpful to someone. And quite frankly, not to sound selfish or egotistical, I think you get much better press helping people, and people truly want to help you back. But it gets into that scorecard thing. I can't sit here and go, well, okay, I helped these 20 people now. Where the hell are they, man? I'm launching this new product. I've got sales school coming up, man. Why aren't they buying from me and rolling? If you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to get real bitter real quick. People are going to see through your actions. But I think it's a very good use of your time to consider being helpful to your network, positioning yourself as a resource. It brings us to the fifth understanding that you need to know when it comes to value. You need to remind people about the value. A couple of, and this isn't throwing it in people's faces. If you do it wrong, yeah, it is. But there are things you probably do for your customers that are just automatic, that are just really, really cool things that you do. You have to remind people without just kind of pulling out the scorecard. So let me give you a few examples. One is from retail. It was at the holidays. There was a special 40% off sale at a store where my kids love to buy clothes. And how cool is that as a parent when it's the holidays and you're grabbing 40% off, man, especially when you know how much like clothes even one kid goes through, let alone three, at the holidays? Yeah, feel sorry for me, man. It ain't easy. That's why you need to buy my stuff, by the way, so I can keep buying these kids clothes the way they want to dress. But anyway, so I go there. It's a 40% off sale. What they did, which was brilliant, it comes time to pay for all this stuff. They didn't just go and just hand me the receipt with a little note that says, you saved this. The lady congratulated me and told me I saved like $200 that day. I was going to say something really inappropriate, but I was really freaking excited, man, about that. Like, saving that kind of money, are you kidding me? But it's very, very important that they do that. The other thing, too, I mean, back in the day, going back to, like, when Uncle Paul had hair on his head and was a skinny dude, when I used to work for my dad, one of the things he started was the competitive edge report. And we started giving that to our clients where we were talking about areas of opportunity that we were able to get, because we were manufacturers reps, by the way, in the chemical industry. And we would explain opportunities that we were able to get them into because of the relationships. We were able to talk about other areas where we were able to increase sales and market share and things like that. But every single month, we reminded our clients. And also, too, it was raising the bar for us, because we knew that we had to sing for our supper every single month. The other way that you can remind people, and this is going to hit home with a lot of you, you got to be having like quarterly reviews with your clients where you kind of sit down and review things, like even like delivery. And if you've been getting this out ahead of schedule, you need to talk about that. Talk about results. Ask them for results. Hey, especially my friends in the printing industry. Many times we'll go and we'll print a project or whatever it is without ever asking them, hey, what happened with this direct mail campaign? What was the response rate? Things like that. That's important for you to know, because it's important if you played a hand in that you reinforce that. Because people forget about it, not because they want to be nasty. It's just because they don't have you or I on the brain. So that's why we have to remind them of value. Another thing, too, if you've been doing some 11th hour miracles for your clients, very important that you kind of remind them of that, too, without being an idiot about it. Here's a cool little thing you can do. I'm going to tell you about another trick. I shouldn't even say trick. That's the nasty way of saying it. But another tip for you that you can do. If next time you have someone that needs you to come through for them with some kind of 11th hour miracle, or cut them a favor, or it's their rear end on the line and you're going to save their butt, I don't care if your company has been so slow for the last 2 weeks that everybody in the factory is sitting around and playing Xbox, right? I want to work for a company like that, by the way, and get paid. That would be pretty awesome. But anyway, but I don't care if like there's nothing to do and you guys are sitting around wondering, like I don't know, like I'm bored. Amuse me, dude. You don't tell them that. Obviously, you wouldn't. But what you do is you say, all right, if they ask you for a favor and it's like some kind of thing where you got to rush for them or go to bat, I don't care if it's slow or not. What you're going to do is you're going to say the same thing to them. Well, obviously, I'm going to go to bat for you. Let me see what I can do. I really don't know, but I'm going to get right back to you. I promise you, either way, I'm going to let you know. Give it a little bit of time, even if you know it's yes, and don't wait all day. And get back to them, obviously, and tell them, you know what, because you're a valued client, I'm able to do it for you. If you're able to do it without rush charges, remind them. And I'm not going to nickel and dime you. That's part of our relationship, and I'm really happy that I can come through for you. Now, you might think that there was really like nothing brilliant about that, and you probably said, duh, like I'm glad Castain saved that for last because I would have like stopped the podcast. But wait, there is a method to Uncle Paul's madness. What you could do then is send them an email telling them what you basically told them. Say, look, I just wanted to confirm this with you and let you know that we're always happy to take care of great clients for you. We're going to get this to you 3 days ahead of schedule without rush charges or whatever it is, right? Again, duh, like what was so brilliant about that? That's an insurance policy because down the line, this guy nickel and dimes you over some project where they're beating you up over like $50. And you know it happens, right? It happens out there. What you're going to do is at that point, you might have to pull out the scorecard. And you're going to, this is going to be like a last resort, but what you might want to do in that case is just kind of talk to them, see if like they'll buy into your logic. And if not, just say, listen, I just want to let you know, I mean, I understand that pricing's important to you, but we try not to nickel and dime either. And when you need us, I mean, what's that? How valuable is that to you? Now, here's why it's an insurance policy, because I noticed that people have selective memories, and sometimes they don't remember that you just bailed them out five times over the last year. In a case like that, without being an idiot, you can always forward it out of your send file just and be real nice about it and just say, hey, you know, it's things like this where we try not to nickel and dime you. And even there's another insurance policy beyond that. How cool would it be if all of a sudden you lose this person at this company that you've done all these favors for? A new buyer comes in and they have their own people and they're not even giving you the time of day. That would be a great thing for you to remind them of, that you have indeed bailed them out when they've needed you, and you were hoping that they would at least give you an opportunity to talk to them. So that's something that you can do. Now, there's really a lot of things here today. I just want to kind of recap very quickly. The first thing is, in the absence of value, people will default to price. That's the first understanding of value. The other part, number two, value is determined by your prospect and your client, not you or your company or your founder, certainly not your marketing department. Number three, don't ever talk about value without connecting the dots. Of course, you're going to understand it. You're always talking about this stuff, almost to the point of being brainwashed by your value proposition. You need to connect the dots and talk about it in a way that's relevant to them. And one of the best ways to do it is by asking good questions, right? Very, very important. Also, number four, front end your value, because sometimes waiting to do like value added is too late. Jury's already come back and rendered a verdict that you're out and somebody else is in. So you want to demonstrate that. And when you do, give up front unconditionally without a scorecard. We also talked about position yourself as a resource. Very, very important. And finally, we talked about how you need to remind people about the value that you offer them. So with that, I want to invite you to do a few things. First of all, I want to practice what I preach. I hope that you'll consider me a resource. And if there's anything I could ever help you with, certainly feel free to reach out to me at paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And I'll do my best to either help you out or point you in the right direction. The other thing that I wanted to tell you is that there's some free resources for you. First of all, today's free resources can be found yoursalesplaybook.com/69. And also, I want you to take full advantage of the Sales Playbook communities. The first one is on Facebook. I'll have a link to that. But if you go by Facebook, like our fan page, please, there's over 1,600 of your peers that you can interact with there. And what I try to do is not duplicate content. In other words, that I'm putting all the same stuff every place. There's just really no value in that for you. So one of the things I try to do is I'll ask a question pretty much every day of the community. People weigh in with their thoughts. We'll have some pretty cool discussions. Sometimes people will reach out to me and say, Paul, I don't want to go public with this, but could you ask the question for me? I'll certainly do things like that. I'll offer some free tips there. But also on LinkedIn, by all means, please stop by and join our group, Sales Playbook. There's over 32,000 of your peers in that group. And I just get a tremendous amount of positive feedback. We allow no spam. There's no self-promo. It is pure content. If there is a discussion up on that group, you can bank on one thing, that it is truly a discussion, not a blog post, not somebody trying to sell their wares. It's people who have questions and people who are just really, really willing to come in and help. So with that, I'm going to ask you for a little favor. If you have been finding value in this podcast, would you please go back to the show notes? I have a little link to iTunes. Number one, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. This way, don't leave it to chance. This way you can get it. I pretty much do it every week, and you can see I'm like 35 minutes at this today for free. No strings attached. So it's like a free training session for you and or your sales team. But also, if you've been finding value, one of the coolest things you could do for me, would you please circle back to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, and please leave a review. It's one of the best things you can do to help out this podcast, because we will get seen by more people. We'll start to build the community at a higher level. So I'd certainly appreciate that. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.